This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, a Aaron Nola complete game. Jack Fritz, is he an ace edition of the High Hopes Podcast? What up, pal?
So tonight he's an ace, right?
Yeah. He wasn't yesterday, though. I just want to be pretty clear that yesterday he was not an ace. Today, without question, an ace. So just
right. Yeah. So today,
we clarify.
Today, no one's mentioning, hey, September's or. Like, is he really an ace, or what constitutes an ace? Today he's just our ace.
Yeah, well, you are, to be fair, you are the one who said you wanted people to react to Phillies games like Eagles games, so.
Yes.
You can't both ways, right? Frenzy,
no,
two of three, pal. First series, we didn't talk about this. I saw Tim Kelly tweet this on Friday, and I hadn't even thought of it, but first series or first game Friday, and obviously first series regular season games against a non-AL East or NL East opponent in 573 days. That's pretty wild.
And thank God, because I was getting like,
me
sick
too.
And tired of,
me too.
Of
it was a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing.
It was like, wow, there's baseball, outside the East Coast.
Yeah.
They play in the Midwest and they play on the West Coast. I mean, how beautiful is that? And, hey, maybe that was kind of the reason why Nola was so good, that it was like, oh, I don't have to face the same guys.
That's actually
again.
A really good point, man. Like, I don't doubt that that could have played at least certainly part of a role. And, like, look, I know that the last time we spoke, it was a little less exciting for this team, but they did bounce back. They won two or three this weekend. We'll, dive into the Nola stuff and everything, but, just where you at? Where's the Fritz meter at on Sunday evening after a 2-of-3 from the Cardinals, sitting at 8-7, a game back in the division?
My main thought is that if Major League Baseball doesn't let the Phillies play every single game at home for the rest of the season, they're a bunch of cowards. I mean, seriously, I need them to be at home all the time. They are so much more enjoyable when they're playing at home than when they're playing on the road. But overall, I'm not one to get too high or too low. I pretty much stay right in the middle.
No, it's a good point, man. Yeah, yep. You're definitely not that guy. You're the one who's even keeled Jack. That's what I call you.
My main takeaway is this is a good team that had a bad week, and I just think they're going to be battling a little bit over 500 the whole year. They played the Cardinals aren't a bad team. I wasn't like overly impressed with the Cardinals this weekend, but they're not like a bad team.
No,
and they
they're a good
took
team.
2 of 3. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, you know, I think they're a good team. I'm with you. And I don't think people should react. It is going to be really interesting to watch this home road thing, though, because, you know, we talked about the numbers that you had tweeted out last time. And then just this season is a very small sample size of evidence has been unbelievably stark from home to road. So that'll be something to watch. But all right, let's dive into the weekend, because there was a lot of fun, obviously, Saturday. Less fun, but let's start with Nola, because we did that whole thing on opening day or second game of the season, but Wheeler's opening start about, oh, you know, best start we've seen a Phillies pitcher have in a while, and Aaron Nola was even better today. So what did you think of Nola?
Well, it was nice of JT to.
I was gonna be my follow up. I didn't know if you were just gonna dive in. I was gonna say, do you have anything to say about JT? So I should have just gone there from the beginning. I don't know why I actually asked you about Nola when I should have asked you about JT, and then you could talk about Nola.
Yeah, I actually thought JT did a good job today, and I think he did a good job with Eflin on Friday. We'll get to that, obviously, later. But, yeah, I mean, listen, Nola's plan should be this. Every start, he should spend the first three innings getting the fastball command down and getting – real feel for his fastball and being able to get through it to both sides. Because if you throw it enough, especially a guy like Aaron Nola, he's a pro, he does this all the time, he's gonna find his release point on it and stuff. Like, he's gonna get comfortable with his fastball. You just have to stick with it. And what I thought of JT in the past is that he tries to get too cute all the time. He tries to get the curveball over and start that earlier, the changeup, and really just commit to it. But in reality, for Nola to be Nola and the Nola that we saw today, it comes down to fastball command. And you saw the first, like, five innings, they weren't squaring up his fastball at all. I think the only guy to really square him up was Yadi. So it comes down to fastball command. And for JT, he just has to stick with it. Just stick with it. I know he has this curveball that is enticing and the changeup moves well off the fastball. You got to stick with the fastball. It is so important for him. If he can get command at both sides of the plate, it makes everything off of his fastball that much better. So he was just awesome. And his four-seamer was dancing. I mean, there's a couple times where he missed his spot by, like, you know, he was trying to hit the outside corner, ended up and in, but, like, it had such a nice rise to it that it didn't matter. So it was just a brilliant pitching performance. But really, for me, and that needs to be the plan the whole year, is get the fastball over early and then work everything else in, because those pitches are only as good as they are off of the fastball. You can't just go out there and throw a bunch of curveballs and expect to have good success. You have to get the fastball coupled with it. So it was just a masterpiece, and I think we finally can put the 2018 Red Sox start to bed. Even though it was a magical night in Fenway that night, I think this is finally Aaron Nola's best start since.
Yeah, signature start, so to speak. And I, like, you could tell the way he's talked about the complete game over the last couple years and how important it was to him with the seven inning thing. And he's like, yeah, it's not a real complete game. And we heard after the game tonight that he told Girardi he'd fight him if he took him out and all that stuff. Like he really wanted to notch this off the belt. Like, he wanted to have a complete game on his resume, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he was able to go out, and I'm happy the St. Louis Cardinals gave him two outs on two pitches in the top of the ninth. That was nice as well. But it was awesome to see, and also to see the velocity back up after the last start where people were a little nervous about that and stuff. So yeah, and look, the Cardinals, like you said, they're not the best team in baseball, but they're a good baseball team, and it's a solid lineup. I mean, they've got Arenado, they've got Goldschmidt, Yadier's hot right now, as we saw all game on Saturday. You know, they got some guys. DeJong's a hitter. Edmund's a solid player. So it's not like you did against the Pirates. So I think it's really encouraging, especially for, like you said. Look, I know I'm with you. Like, I like the reacting to it, like it's the Eagles games too, because it does matter to me like that. Like, every game I live and die with, we talk about that. You do too. That's what High Hopes is all about. We live and die with every game like it is an Eagles game. So we are prone to overreact sometimes and prone to live in the moment sometimes. But But to the narrative that had been thrown around with the, like, you know, especially I think the game two of that doubleheader where, you know, you had lost the night before, you lose the first game and you're really expecting Nola to go out and, like, you know, give you the game that Marcus Stroman gave the Mets, essentially. And today, coming off that ugly loss yesterday with a chance to win the series, Nola did exactly that and went out and won the game for you. I mean, like, look, Bryce Harper played a role, but, like, for the most part, Aaron Nola won this game today. And, you know, it was good to see because, I mean, again, like, ultimately, this team, we need, as we're seeing, and we'll get to one of them in a minute, but this team absolutely desperately needs Nola, Wheeler, and Eflin to be good more often than not if they're going to make the playoffs. So seeing Nola like that, knowing the kind of roles he can get on, especially as it gets warmer too, I think it was really encouraging, Jack.
Yeah, and it's one of those starts that you needed your ace to have. You know, if they lost 2 or 3 at home this weekend coming off the game Saturday and Nola looked bad again, I think things would have looked pretty bleak just on fan morale-wise.
Have been the first time under 500 too. They avoided that, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's nice. Congrats to Aaron Nola for finally catching up to Nick Pivetta on complete games.
I was gonna get there. I think that's the last one, right? The last complete game was Nick Pivetta.
Nah, well, I feel like Eflin had to have mixed one in there.
I thought so, but I think I might have seen Johnny Heller tweet it. I could be wrong though.
Wow, I mean, just Nick Pivetta just making records all over for the Phils.
Yeah, at least 9 in an incomplete game. I think they might add a 7.
Well, yeah,
last year.
Well, they're the only ones that really count.
We all agree. That is the official high ups position. It does not need to be debated. A 7 in an incomplete game, in quotes, is not a complete game.
No, and those no hitters shouldn't count either if someone happens to throw a no hitter.
Ooh, quick hypothetical for you. What if it goes 9 in extra innings and the pitcher pitches those extra innings? Can we call that a complete game? I think so, right?
I guess, but I mean,
and then you're pitching with a ghost runner on second too. I mean, that's, you know.
Oh, right. Added, that makes it added harder.
Exactly. It's like a harder complete game. Wow. Anyway, sorry for the tangent.
yes. But yeah, I mean, listen, it was just, you know, debating the Nola ace things, like, whatever. He's going to have to do it in September, and he's going to have to beat the Braves.
Yep.
It was great. It was a start that you needed your ace to have. And, yeah, I agree with you. It was one of those moments that it felt like Nola was kind of, like, just wanting to have, and there's been so many of those where it's like, oh, here's 8 innings of Aaron Nola, or here's 7 2/3 of Aaron Nola, but he just can't get over the hump. And honestly, mentally for him, it could be a huge hurdle to say, hey, I did this, I can do this. And another thing real quick before we move off of Nola is I do wonder how much dumping the cutter and getting rid of it this start helped him. Just from the standpoint of, like, him throwing his cutter, he has to get kind of on the side of it. And, or, you know, it's just a different feel in his hand, I think, than the fastball, curveball, changeup. And he talked a lot about needing to get back on top of his fastball to kind of create that downward tilt. And he definitely had that back today. Like, his fastball had a little bit extra giddy up on it today. So I do wonder if ditching the cutter and kind of the weird feeling that it had in his hand was able to get those other pitches back to where we've seen them. So just something to monitor going forward, I would say.
All right, let's go back to Friday, and we'll go through the pitchers, and then we'll get to all the other stuff. So I guess the real question is after seeing what Aaron Nola did today, Jack, do you stand by your tweet from Friday night about Zach Eflin? For those who missed it, Jack tweeted, Zach Eflin is the Phillies' best pitcher. So go, sir.
Beers were had.
I figured.
Yeah. The only time I really have beers while watching the Phils is on, like, Friday and Saturdays.
Yeah, same.
And listen, beers were had. I was extremely fired up about Eflin. Like, James, I got to be honest with you, and we never lie to the High Hopes listeners, but I feel like, I don't know. It's not that I get a lot of stuff wrong. It's just like, I go all in, and then it almost always blows up in my face.
Yeah, and you've had some spectacular ones, I think is a good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I went pretty in on Eflin this year, and it just this is going to sound bad, but it felt nice to be rewarded. And like, I just need my luck on my field.
Jack needs to get one in the win column. You know, I think you've earned it. I think you deserve it, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you've taken some heat for opinions, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's because the thing that's so annoying about like Philly's opinions or whatever is like I lean towards positive. So like. And, like, whenever it goes bad, it's like, oh, see, he does suck. It's like, great. Why can't it be like other sports where you predict everyone to be bad and they're good? You know, I always predict them to be great and they're never great.
I know.
But yeah, it was just – I was just in a really good mood just watching Eflin. And, you know, he had, like, two straight innings where I felt like he threw five pitches. And I was just like, this is Roy Halladay light. I mean, this is what he is. He's our version of Roy Halladay. So, and not that I like, he's not, his stuff isn't the same as Roy Halladay.
Yeah, don't worry. We know.
If you just put them like coming out of their little twist, you know, in their wind up or whatever. If you from their leg kick on, like the stuff is so similar. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know. But it was a really fun night Friday. Again, I thought JT called a good game, but I feel like Eflin's an easy-ish guy to call a game for because he can pretty much spot all his pitches. You know, you should be able to keep hitters guessing all night long. So he looked great, and, you know, he wasn't great the last start. So for him to kind of go out there and have that kind of outing was massive. And obviously he couldn't get over the little bit of a hump at the end. So. But yeah, he was awesome. And the two seamer sinker thing was back to dancing the way that it was not his last start. So that was good to see as well.
Yeah. He's really good, man. You know, it's not, Kershaw, Buehler, Bauer, but you know, if these guys are all on, Nola Wheeler Eflin's a legit top three. Like it's certainly one of the 10 best top threes in baseball and probably better than that. You know, it's up there. So, it's a legitimate punch. So, you know, if you can get Eflin, I mean, he's the real, I think, now wild card's the wrong word, because I think we all, certainly here in this part of Philly's world, we're very bullish on him this year and expected him to be really good, but he is the one who can kind of really increase the ceiling of the team with his performance. And also, like, no better guy to root for. I mean, we've talked about it before when Mickey Moniak, who we'll get to, when Mickey Moniak was on the pod, he said, you know, Eflin basically the best guy on the team, the one who he would have babysit my kid when I asked him that question. And when Eflin came on the midday show, I talked to him for like 30 seconds before he came on. He like could not have been a nicer human being. He was awesome. I congratulate him on the kid coming. And he was like, just like genuinely appreciative and super nice. So easy to root for. All right, before we get to all the other stuff, we got to do it, Jack. I know he's been your guy. I know he's been your guy. I know you were
everything.
We're in. You found a way to be in on him. In fact, if people want to go back and, you know, do the little scroll up through the podcast, then you can probably see a little title about this man. How you coping, Jack? Where are you at with Matt Moore? Because I'm going to just say it very succinctly for where I'm at with Matt Moore. And it's this, Jack. Matt Moore blows. He blows. Your response.
I no longer care about Matt Moore. I'm all good. Yeah, we're good.
God, he's so bad, dude. He's
brilliant. Oh, yeah. It was like so bad. So bad. Not even a little glimpse. I mean, listen, if you're going to throw 91, 92 or whatever, at least be able to spot up. And, you know, this is one of those moments, James, where you should have just trusted the gut. You know, the gut said this guy's bad. He's been like the worst pitcher in baseball since 2016.
Who else could you have trusted besides the gut? Is there anyone that you talked to about the Phillies in a public forum?
I know. Well, I mean, you're notoriously a Debbie Downer, so
Yes. My argument that he hadn't been good in Major League Baseball since 2016 wasn't good enough. I get it. And even then, he was not great.
I guess I just don't get, like, why, you know? Why did they spend $3 million
on
Matt
Moore?
Well,
I mean, think about it this way. When you put it like this, and Chase Anderson, again, I think is what you're buying. I think he's fine. He's not good, but, you know, he'll be fine for a fifth starter. But, like, you think about the fact they gave Vinny V 4, they gave 3 to Moore, and then 4 to Anderson. I mean, that's Taiwan Walker. Well, that's whoever. I mean, like, that's, like, you know, do that and then sign, like, whoever to be the other. I mean, like, it's just that, again, I think Dombrowski had a really, really good first offseason here. I've been really impressed with a lot of what he's done. But I think if you're looking for an area to rip him, I think he did a bad job with the back end of the rotation. And the Velasquez, to be fair, I guess that happened before he got here. So we can't rip him for bringing Velasquez back.
Yeah, it did. And plus, you have a Doble, who's another $10
million. Yeah, no, and I agree. No, I'm not blaming Dombrowski for the general, like, the fact the Phillies have the fifth highest payroll is a joke. And it's not John Middleton's fault. Like, thank you, John Middleton, for having the fifth highest payroll. But, like, Matt Klentak just pissed away money. Like, unbelievable the situation this team is in, considering that, like, you look at teams that are not that far ahead or way below the Phillies in terms of you know, money, salary cap spend, or not salary cap, soft cap spend. And there's so much more talent on these rosters, like the Braves, for example. It is frustrating, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, those teams also have way better you know, development and stuff. So
sure, of course.
But, like, I don't know. I'm almost willing at this point to kind of hit the reset button on all that stuff, because, like Barber's here now. All the minor league guys, like, you know, Ochard and Robles and Herg and all those guys, like, they, like, we actually have an infrastructure now to where we can develop talent, which is exciting.
It's huge.
Would have liked that in 2015 or, you know, 2016. So it's nice to have those guys here. So it's like almost, it's frustrating. I get it. You know, that they don't have, like, the young talent to come through the minor league system, but I also think that we're kind of just at the precipice of this whole thing turning around. So I look back and I say that sucks, but also I'm excited for what we have in store.
Yeah. And please, David, Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
No more with Vinny. All right. Like, and Matt Moore is going to be gone. Matt Moore, this was a failed experiment and everyone knows it. At some point, he'll be gone. Maybe he'll be a reliever. Who knows? But, like, Vinny has been years here with us, sir. Like, no more. He's going to be starting game soon, though. So, I mean, it's just what
this
it
time.
Is. Honestly, I mean, he's not worse than Matt Moore. Like, he's not better, but he's not worse. Like, it's pretty hard to be worse than Matt Moore. I mean, it's possible Matt Moore is among the two or three worst starters in Major League Baseball. He's high on the list.
I mean this with all seriousness. I watch every Phillies game. If I miss any bit, I go back and I rewatch it. The next time I have to watch Matt Moore and Vince Velasquez in the same game,
God.
It's off.
It's just,
I'm out.
Yeah, it's,
I'm out.
It's just, it's not fair to us, is what I would say.
Dude, it's like, oh, my God. I have this written down for my take bag, but I'll just get it out now. Like, I love everything about baseball. Like, baseball is my favorite. But I found something over the weekend that I hate about baseball. And, I've thought this in the past, but it really just hit me. Dude, pitchers that can't throw strikes, I can't watch. Like, it is like Vinny nibbling at 93. Again, can't believe it, call him Vinny Velo. But,
well, especially Vinny now, nibbling. Especially now, yeah. When they're like,
with like
10 guys
Alvarado
on the staff who throw harder.
Yeah. I cannot watch pitchers that can't throw strikes. It's like, it makes me want to rip my hair out. Like, it's a 6-run ball game. We're down. Why are you nibbling? Why are you throwing curveballs 2-0? Like, can we just get a move on? I hate it. I hate watching pitchers that can't throw strikes. And it's the first time I sat there and was like, oh, so this is what people are talking about.
I co-sign everything you said, Jack. All right.
Hold on. Real quick before we get move off of Matt Moore and Vince Velasquez.
Yes.
James, I've never wanted to do this. I've never been a proponent of it. But, I mean, when he's ready and able, they got to give Cole Hamels a call.
Wow. Whoa, buddy. Wow.
Why
this
not?
I'm not fighting you on it, but this is very, this is a big 180 for you, pal.
Well, it's just, there's no way. There's no way.
Nothing could be worse. I'm not, dude. I would sign him the second he's ready. I would have someone there just watching his rehab till he's like, all right, you good? You ready now? Okay, good. Let's go. Like, yeah, I'm with you, man. It can't be worse.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if it's a Pedro like thing or whatever, but there, like, I watched Matt Moore on Saturday. And I was like, there's no freaking way that Cole Hamels is not as like is worse than this.
Wow.
I mean,
I
at least I know
this.
Cole can command a changeup.
If I could have expected anything to be said during this podcast, you saying you want Cole Hamels back after all the slander you have thrown that man's way. I'm like speechless, Jack.
Well, here's I know what. Yeah, I don't not like Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels brought me a first championship. I love Cole.
He's a hero, is what you're trying to say.
I know. I just don't forget 2009. But that's me. So, it would be fun. Like the Phillies really going for it in their last for the first time since 11. Obviously, they're going for it in 2019 and 2020, but you know, we both feel like this is the best team they've had, right? Having Cole pitching down the stretch run would be freaking
awesome. Can you imagine?
Awesome.
It would be like jumping in a time machine. It would be so awesome. I wholeheartedly endorse this. Obviously, I would have. You know, it's not surprising.
Well, honestly, if you bring back Cole, and obviously you worry about the health stuff. He's been hurt the last couple of years. But if you can have Cole back and Chase Anderson, like Matt Moore, whatever, Vinny, whatever, and then hopefully Spencer Howard is stretched out enough to you know, give him some healthy innings on the stretch, like that'll help mitigate, I think, the 4-5 concerns. So I don't know.
There's always the trade deadline too, like depending on what they want to do and where they are, if they're willing to spend and all that. So. You know, there are options. It's just, it's one of those things, certainly with Moore, it's one of those things where you really have to start asking yourself, how much longer can we roll him out? Like, how much longer can we allow ourselves to be at this big a disadvantage every 5 games?
Yeah, I had that written down. Like, I don't know how much longer you can give him.
I know.
I mean,
like one,
two?
Two. Yeah, I was going to say one, two, somewhere in that range, you know?
Like two more starts,
yeah.
And then I guess it's Vinny.
Vinny,
but, you know.
Ranger Suarez, Spencer, maybe. I doubt it, though. I mean, those are, you know, if they're not going to sign someone, those are the internal options. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah, well, and Adonis Medina started today on the
sure
at the alternate site, but that does nothing
again,
really
look,
for me.
No, but whatever. Like at this point, you know, try it out, see what you get. I mean, Cole Irvin's out in Oakland tossing gems, so.
Oh, he had one.
All right. I got a bunch of specific things I want to get to. Specifically, obviously, I want to talk about Harper, but the most importantly, first and foremost, shout out to Mickey Moniak coming to the major leagues, getting a chance to play. It wasn't the best weekend for Mick at the plate. He's still getting settled in, but what do you think of seeing Mick in the bigs, brother?
Oh, it was great. It was great. And, you know, maybe if he wants to turn his mojo around, puts on the High Hope shirt.
Some
are saying that's good luck.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, this is a, like, semi-serious, but, like, this is where I feel bad about, like, riling people up and getting them excited for, like players or whatever, because then it just puts like an extra added pressure on guys like Mickey, who like I think is going to be a good player, but he's like super young and, you know, he's playing center field and he's being tasked with like saving the center field position from being the worst position in like Philly's history. So like, you know, I don't know. I think he's going to be fine. I thought he actually had good at bats this weekend. I know today wasn't great. I mean, a lot of strikeouts. and whatever. He's walked a couple times. On Friday, that ball in the ninth inning was a home run on any other night. That's a fact. Like, he should have one home run in the year. And he had another ball that was hit up the middle that's been a home run, or that's been a single for 100 years. So, you know, he's faced a lot of lefties, which isn't great. But, you know, I think he's played good center field. And he's walked a couple times. I think he's been on a couple fastballs. And, you know, just give him a chance. I mean, you know, Hoskins was out the first 12 times he came up to the big leagues, and people were freaking out then. So, you know, it's the added pressure that comes with being a Fritz guy. And I hope that he can handle it. But it was awesome seeing him. And yeah, I thought he played well defensively, and hopefully the bat comes around as he kind of settles in and gets more comfortable. And if these teams can stop throwing lefties against him at the time being, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing we don't talk about enough. It's like, it's hard enough to be a 22-year-old in Major League Baseball. I mean, like, again, you usually don't make the majors when you're 22. It's usually like the top guys who make it when they're that young or younger. You know, you usually make it when you're in your mid-20s, 24, 25, that general range, and even later for a lot of guys. I mean, like, Nelson Cruz didn't really make it in the majors. He was like 28 or whatever. You know, I think that, like you said, it's unfair to give, you know, to judge Mick so harshly. But on top of that, with the added pressure of being 22 in the major leagues, you also have that insane, unfair pressure of the Fritz curse. And that's something that you really have to, like, weigh on you. So it's like Mickey has to do so much more. So give him a chance. He's good enough. He'll get there. And I thought he looked like a major leaguer, you know? Like, last year when he came up, he looked a little less comfortable, like a little, you know, more fish out of water type of thing. And I think this year, like, stepping in the plate, like, I know he didn't have great at-bats today, but I thought he did the other night on Friday. And like you said, did hit that ball that was a tank shot. You know, the wind was crazy. I mean, Harper should have had two home runs, as you tweeted out. I think you're running with that. And to your point too, like, I mean, I think people were tweeting out all weekend, but with no hits again today, I'm assuming the center fielder hasn't got a hit, what, like 28 games or something like that? The center field
since April 6th.
Yeah, what the hell is that? Yep. I mean, not 28 games, obviously, I haven't played that game. I mean, 28, whatever days. Like, that's crazy, dude. Like, April 6th, like 16 days, like 15 days, I'm bad at math. 12 days, that's insane. Regardless, I'm with you. Give Mick some time, you know, and look, he's not Roman Quinn, so that's a good thing.
And honestly, I feel like even with the at-bats, like, I still feel like he has a chance, you know, unlike with Haseley and Quinn, I felt like they just weren't going to put, like, even when Haseley made contact, it was like the ball just slammed down into the ground. Like, his swing looks good. So, there's a lot of pressure on him coming up. I mean, it seemed like, I was actually surprised at the overwhelming, like, almost like support in a way, or like excitedness for Mickey coming up.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And like, listen, that's great. Like, I mean, it's great that he changed the narrative and stuff like that. And people were excited for him to come up. I just hope that, you know, I just hope that people don't, like, just sour on or put pressure on, like, every little thing he does. I mean,
he's 22
again.
He's 22.
Right. Right. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He looked good this weekend. He hit a couple balls hard that were just foul. I'm not too worried about it. And again, honestly, it hit whatever. As long as you play good defense in center field and can run the bases, it'll be all good.
I'm with you. As long as you're not colliding into Bryce Harper for fly balls and all that. All right. Speaking of which, and I want to get to the rest of the offense in a sec, but Harper, tumultuous weekend for Harper, so to say. Played on Friday, then Saturday we get the news right before the game, before the line comes out, that he's got this back thing and doesn't play. And then obviously looked awesome today. The just absolute tank shot in the first inning, like second deck, monster shot. Then that the I can't remember if it was a first double or a second double. The one where he just kind of went with the pitch, like we were talking about last time, and just batted it in the left field. Like, that was just such a good piece of hitting. And where are you at on the scale? Because, like, to not ignore the back thing, that was something that you talked about earlier in spring training. You've been talking about something that is a legitimate concern in your eyes now and moving forward. Where are you at with the weekend from Harper and, you know, heating up but also the back thing.
Yeah, I mean, how long? It's how like, much it's left
like
the
we,
contract?
It's like, come on! It's like we can't, right? We can't just get a hot Harper. We have to get a hot Harper. We have to have these back issues with too. It's like, come on.
I mean, there's only 10 more years left in the contract. You know, at least he's in his prime.
Hey, Jack, can I ask you a quick question? Do you still miss the DH? You might want the DH, pal. We might want the DH coming our way.
I did think that in the seventh today.
Yeah, when Nola was up with two on, I was like, man, I really miss the DH.
I know. But then you factor in the bunts, and it's just all my worries about DH just go away.
Yeah. All right. Harper, where you at?
So with Harper, don't love the back injury stuff. That's for sure. Especially given how early it is and given how much work he put in. Now, they did say it was, precautionary and stuff, which they always say. I got a couple of thoughts. So there is nothing that excites old baseball fans quite like going with the pitch.
And, buddy. It's good hitting.
Oh, my God.
It's good hitting, Jack.
Oh, my God.
It's
what you're
taught
to do. Harper hits one 450 first at bat, and everyone's like golf clapping. He slaps a ball down the left field line, and everyone's like weeping and kissing babies and cheering and falling through their knees and praying to the sky, saying, "Oh, thank God he went with the pitch and hit a double down the line." Oh, it's so annoying. Anyway, yeah, listen, the home run today was Stairs-esque, I want to say. I mean, I think it was more purely hit than the walk-off grand slam personally.
It might have been. I mean, it was a tank shot.
Dude, it was like he was a golfer and you just squared it up off the tee. Just an absolute missile. And listen, he should have had two home runs on Friday night. Like, I am not letting the baseball gods and Major League Baseball, like, they're not going to tell me that he did not have two home runs on Friday. Bryce Harper is up to 6 home runs in the season. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. He's up to 6. Those balls were home runs on every other night. And whoever was working cameraman that night was also working cameraman in game 5 in 2011 because they were the same kind of thing. And he's up to what, like 289 with a 980 some OPS.
His OPS is awesome. It's like, he's there.
Like, yeah, it's, I would like for him to kind of consistently do it, not have like the one game where he goes 3 for 3 and does it to keep it consistent throughout the year. But honestly, the swing in his third hit, I actually liked the most because it was kind of just right up the middle, easy, not trying to do too much. And Senate. So, and it was honestly, given how he was talking after the Mets series, for him to come out and have
totally,
the series he had against the Cardinals.
Totally.
Yeah, that was massive because it's kind of, backing up his word.
I had the exact same thought. I had it written down. Like, he came out after the Mets series and was like, "This isn't good enough. We can't be like this. Too many strikeouts. It's on me. It's on us." And then came out and backed it up. Like Friday, like you said, I really do agree with you. I thought certainly the opposite field one I thought was a 100% a home run. And the other one I think probably would have been too. But he, no matter how you look at it, Friday and Sunday, the two games he played was just ripping the ball. Like, he's just hitting the ball really, really hard right now. He's seeing the ball. And we know what he's like when he gets hot. And, he's seeing the ball like a beach ball. And he's just smacking it around the field. And usually he starts the year hot. Like, this was the longest in his career that it's taken him to hit a home run. I think it was like 5 games as opposed to his first 3 or whatever. And usually he starts off hot. It wouldn't be shocking if the back is okay to kind of see Harper get going a little bit here and get on a little run and hopefully sustain that. Speaking of runs, the other guy I really wanted to highlight, and then I'll ask your questions, like just general thoughts on the offense overall, is I think it was kind of a scattered weekend. Obviously they had that 6-run rally, the bloop and the error and the this, but it worked out and kind of got them going. And then, certain guys are hitting, Didi's quietly hitting over 300. But outside, I think there's kind of some up and down. Boehm keeps getting robbed. I mean, we remember the Acuña catch, the Edmund catch. But I think the one guy we can all agree on is by far the most locked in this lineup right now is Mean Gene. I mean, Segura has been awesome. What is he doing right now that's so impressive to you? And do they need to move him up in the lineup? Because we've talked about the McCutchen thing. Reese walked today, but still not walking at the same clip as before. Like, if McCutchen keeps struggling, and even if he doesn't with the way Segura is hitting, do they have to start messing around with that a little bit, Jack?
Well, if McCutchen kept struggling, I like the idea of Hoskins lead off, Segura two hole, Harper three, Bohm four, Didi five, JT six, and then Cutchin the center fielder down there. But I thought McCutchen had a good weekend. I thought his bat was looking quicker and he walked a couple times. So kinda seems like we're kinda seeing a light at the end of the tunnel there with Andrew McCutchen's struggles. So hopefully he continues down that path. But yeah, I mean, ever since we made fun of him for being a hit machine, he's actually been a hit machine, so that's great to see. But yeah, his bat just looks quicker. Looks like he's finally starting to square up balls. He's thinking right center field, which is where he should be thinking. I think he had like four hits the opposite way. So getting him back to being the 315 homer hitter that he's been consistently throughout his career would be massive for this team. So you know, the two holes change so much when it comes to how it's thought about in Major League Baseball. It's been changed to you want a productive hitter there that's going to work counts and whatnot. But like Segura, he always reminded me of Polanco, and I thought Polanco was a great two hole hitter. So I don't think the numbers bear out him being a good fit in a two hole, but in a traditional baseball sense, I think he'd be a great two hole hitter. So I don't know, we'll see, but at least he is showing stuff again, and at least there's some hope that they're gonna, you know, get some value out of his contract.
All right, couple other things I want to run by you, but is there anything else outside of your take bag on the offensive side of things you want to mention before I throw a couple other things at you?
No, I mean just Bohm stuff, but we'll get to that.
All right, quickly, JoJo velocity down. Obviously, did not look good on Saturday. Didn't look great against the Mets, and obviously we also saw, you know, the kind of not running down to first base on that Hoskins sliding play. But are you worried at all about JoJo?
Well, I'm worried if he's going to continue throwing 93 to 95. I mean, there's a big difference in that and 95 to 97. You can make mistakes when you're 95 to 97. You can't make mistakes when you're 93 to 95. And what we've seen so far is that he's, you know, throwing the same pitches he thought he could hit at 97, but they're at 93. So, and they are, you know, mostly leaving the ballpark, which is not great. Slider doesn't look like it has the same, sharpness to it. But overall, not really, because he was still hitting 95 to 97 in spring training. So maybe it's kind of one of those light dead arm periods that he's kind of going through. But, you know, I think I'm not ready to pull the plug or send it back down, because I think he has the upside of being one of the three best relievers on this team. So I want to see that ability. I think the velo thing is concerning, and I need to get him back up to where he should be, which is 97. So that's the main worry for me with JoJo.
All right. That is actually, I think, also, you know, happy birthday, Fanatic. Thank God they didn't lose on the Fanatic's birthday, Jack. I don't know if I could have handled that emotionally. That's all I got. I got a couple things at the end, but take bag.
All right. Take bag time. I'm out on the term hitting season, and it has nothing to do with Charlie.
Cool.
I love Charlie. I think he's great. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's just, you know, you're allowed to hit in April, okay? World Series are played in October. That's not considered hitting season. I just hate that anytime the offense struggles, that the crutch term is, well, it's not hitting season yet. Well, I don't care if it's not hitting season yet. Like, you can still put, like, the Reds are unbelievable offensively. Like, they don't care that it's cold, you know? So, cool it with the term hitting season. You know, you're allowed to hit well in April. I don't care that it's not warm. Just put the term to rest, okay? I'm over it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Out on the term hitting season.
I 100% agree with you.
Wow, really?
Yeah, good take. I agree. It's super annoying when everyone's like, oh, they'll hit when it gets warm out or whatever. It's going to be hitting season. No, hit now. Yeah, start hitting. I'm with you, Jack. Very with you. Everyone's playing in the same thing. Guess what? So if it's hitting season for you guys, doesn't that mean that every other team it's hitting season two? Like, then aren't they going to be hitting more too and they're hitting more now? Thank you. Agree. Great take, Jack.
It can't be the thing
when
that we
you started
on,
it. When you started it, I definitely thought I was going to disagree with you, and I 100% agree with you.
Thank you. I hope that's how everyone else reacted to it when I said it. Again, it's nothing against Charlie. Anything. Like, I love Charlie. All that stuff. Yeah. It's annoying that you can't even have a conversation about offenses in April when they're slow without being like, well, it's not warm yet. It's not how it works. Okay. Thank you. I had to get that one off my chest.
I liked it. Again, I agree.
Boehm is just getting eaten alive on fastballs in. And like, for as much as people applaud hitting the ball the other way and using off fields, and again, I think that's great. But for Boehm to truly reach the next level, he needs to learn how to pull the ball in the air, because like, even the ball that he hit the wall today in right field, it's like, oh, no, that's a good piece of hitting. Well, it was 91 right down the middle of the plate. Like, can we hit that, 430 to left? So it's just something he's going to have to adjust with, and I'm sure they will. I mean, he's such a crazy hard worker that'll be fine. But lefties are just, pounding him in, and he's getting kind of slidered to death versus the righties. So, it's all an adjustment, but... Yeah, until he really shows that he can pull the ball well, he's just going to continue to get pounded in. So hopefully he can make an adjustment, because it could be a tough little stretch here for Boehm.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It is. I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but as you say it, anecdotally thinking back, it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, he does always go the other way with that. Isn't really, you don't really see him yank too many shots. He had that one. One that I'm remembering that he yanked to left. Maybe it was the home run in Atlanta. Did he hit a home run in Atlanta that I think he yanked? But
No, it was. I mean, it was last year against the Nationals. He hit one to left, and then his first homer this year was like 430 to like left center.
Field. That's the one I'm thinking about. But he didn't yank it. So I'm with you. I think that's a good. I'm agreeing with you a lot right now. All right, what else you got?
I know. But eventually he's got to learn to pull the ball. So. We'll see. Nola did two things today. I don't know if he realized this, but he got ahead of the A stuff. But also, I tweeted before the game that I need 7 innings of one run ball for Aaron Nola today.
He outdid that.
Yeah. Yeah, he did outdo it. So, once again, mushes do not exist. They are not a real thing. I tweet a lot about the Phillies, mostly positively. Okay? So today is a win for the anti-mush crowd. Okay?
It's good. How about this one? Speaking of the A's, no, I forgot to mention this. You see the Corey Simon tweet that with his complete game today, Aaron Nola leads all of Major League Baseball in innings pitched since 2018, one out ahead of Garrett Cole. It's pretty wild, man. Like, in this day and age, that's especially with this being his first complete game, that's impressive.
Well, he also has the third lowest ERA in baseball since 18.
Yeah, I saw that too.
DeGrom
and Cole.
DeGrom and Garrett
Cole.
Yeah,
so he's, the numbers are there, right? Yeah. All right, what else you got?
Who's to say? Is he really an ace? I'm not sure. I think and his ERA now is down to like 2.28,
I think, or 2.25. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, God. This city, man. I love it.
Yeah.
You know what argument I hate, and that watching him this weekend kind of put it to bed? Like, dude, Yadier Molina is a Hall of Famer. Like, why is there even a debate about this? I mean, at the dish is whatever, but like, what he does behind the plate is like ridiculous. I mean, he controls the whole game as like a quarterback. Why is there any debate about Yadier Molina being a Hall of Famer?
I mean, because it's baseball, and you know that, and the numbers offensively are not there, so I get it, but... I agree with you. I think he's Hall of Famer. I feel like he's Hall of Famer, what he's done. And look, I mean, 18 years. He's played catcher in Major League Baseball for 18 years. Like, just think about what that is for your body and the dedication. And he has held up defensively the entire time. And offensively, look, I mean, whether he's batting like 3-something right now, 350 or something, and he'd certainly torch the Phillies on Saturday night. Yeah, I think a clear all-famer. And, I mean, like, think about all, like, the beating that guy's taken through the years, 18 years. We all remember the ruptured you-know-what, Jack. So, I'm with you. I think Yadier's a all-famer.
Well, and you got to factor in what he does with that pitching staff. I know that might sound overrated to people.
I agree.
But, like, they've never had, like,
one multiple World Series. Like, I'm very with you. I think this is a good take. What is going on tonight? Are we done? How are we doing this?
I know. Well, it's just, like, I see this
way too congenial here.
I know. Well, Nolan threw a complete game.
I know. You're right. Have a lot to do with it. We're in a good mood. It's a good thing.
David Bell lives on, James.
I saw.
Bryce Harper was a triple away from.
It's tough, Jack.
Finally, dude, I just need it. I absolutely need it. I need that memory of my life gone.
And sadly, in a concurrent thing, Nick Pivetta wiped from the, you know, record books, I guess to say, with the last complete game today. So double whammy for you. From that perspective,
like I even remember sitting there the night that David Bell hit for the cycle, and I was like fuming, and I was like super young, but it was like still I was like this is my least favorite Philly hitting for the cycle. It's like a continual bit the Phillies keep playing on me is that no one's gonna hit for the cycle just so we can keep living on. Like even the pictures of him on Twitter or on Google in a Phillies uniform, he just looks miserable to be there. Yeah,
I love this. Worst. This is anyway. One of your great irrational takes.
It's
a great one. This. It's an outstanding, just absurd take, and I love it. I do.
And finally, our former manager is returning.
Oh,
home this
that's
week.
Where I was going to go, my friend. So let me ask you, in honor of his return, very quickly. In what inning would Gabe have pulled Nola in today's game? Seventh. Does he let
sixth,
him go eight?
Seventh. Yeah.
Yeah, probably seventh. Right. Seventh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever he got in a little bit of trouble, he's probably gonna pull him. So, I just want to ask you though, like, you know, what was your favorite memory of the Gabe era?
Probably the drops that you put together. I like that idea. I love it. I still say that in random conversation with people. I'll be like, I like that idea. I love it, and they'll look at me and have no idea what I'm talking about, but I know. So I would say the drops.
All right. Well, I think for me, it's easily him versus Angelo was always amazing.
Yeah, that one in particular where Gabe was like, "I don't think you've handled this interview well." Like that whole thing was a classic. I agree. That
incredible.
Was awesome.
Incredible. I don't know. There's so many. But Hobie Milliner's nasty brother is probably my favorite.
Oh, and also a honorary mention for Justin Bour, emotional warrior. That's a strong one.
It's going to be
9-6, the 9-6 Giants coming to town, Jack.
Well, yeah, he's a good manager. Yeah. Try to tell people
that. They beat the Padres twice, but there hasn't been a lot of stiff competition otherwise.
I know. It's going to be an amazing week.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for it.
Do you think Giglio sleeps tonight?
No. No, he's way too excited. Way too excited.
Yeah, he's way too excited. Yeah. I'm gonna have to have him pop on the show tomorrow.
Oh, it's a must. That's a must. This is a Super Bowl. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah. Gabe's coming back. He's talking about like how he wants to go to the coffee shops in Northern Liberties, he's so back. So he's so excited to be back.
So good.
It must be nice. It must be nice that he has like an amazing general manager there. So.
Oh yeah, with Farhan. Yeah, I'm sure he's like, wow, this is cool.
It's gonna be so funny the first time he like goes out to the mound. I mean,
I can't wait.
This might be the most excited I've been for a Philly series that's not opening day in a while.
Well, that's why like that was one of the few benefits of last season being only against the AL East and NL East is that we didn't waste Gabe's return without fans in the stand because. That it's too good.
Yes, and like there's like legs to stand on that he's pretty good given his record with the Giants. So you can have like kind of opinions on both sides.
No,
it's great.
Good. It's fun.
It's great. I can't wait to see him, and I can't wait for like, I don't know. It's gonna be a fun week of our jobs. That's for sure.
I love it. All right. Quickly before we get out of here, a hearty farewell to Jay Bruce, former Philly. I retire. For those who didn't see, just said like Mike Schmidt style. He's like, I don't have it anymore. I'm done. Retiring after tonight's Yankees game or today's Yankees game. I enjoyed the Jay Bruce era, Jack, here in Philly.
Jay Bruce, yeah.
He was fun. I think he gave us more fun than not fun.
I think you've tweeted, I don't know, Jay 12 Bruce times is the greatest he's the best player in the Phillies
time or something. Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget. I'll never forget his first freaking game in San Diego where he went yard a couple times and everyone's like, "Oh, we're back."
So good. It was fun. The Jay Bruce era was fun. All right. Final thoughts before we get out of here, Fritzy.
My final thought is that so I watched the game alone today because Jill went out with a friend in the afternoon, and she comes in after being out, and I said, "Hey, Nola threw a complete game shutout," and she said, "Oh, cool. Sorry, I missed it." And I was like, "I mean, could you be a little bit more excited?"
Could you recognize how important this is to me?
I felt like the reaction was just very subdued. And I would have liked a little bit like, wow, really? He did that? It was like, cool. Why would I possibly care about that? So, listen, everything's fine in the Fritz household.
For now.
This is actually my last podcast in this house.
Oh, wow, buddy.
Before we move. So I'm going to be exhausted next Sunday because we'll be moving.
Oh, yeah. So maybe we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
we might not do it. My mom is actually visiting. She's coming on Tuesday. So first time I'll be seeing her for a year and a half since she's been in Miami. And she's staying for a couple weeks. So definitely going to be we'll figure it out. We'll make it work when we can make it work. It might not be the normalest high hope schedule, but we will definitely have pods out. All right, Jack, my final thought. It's actually a question. I was thinking about it because like, it's one of those things where you know what he's doing for so much of the year. If it's March, you know what he's doing. If it's April, you know what he's doing. If it's football season, you know what he's doing. What do you think Jim Nance is up to now? Like, what does he do during this time when he doesn't have these big events to call on? Is he just, like, chilling? What do you think?
Well, given that a lot of his schedule is probably freed up since he resigned. I would anticipate old Jimmy boy is probably on the golf.
Yeah, course. Well, that's honestly, I'm not really as concerned about what he's doing or how he is. I'm more concerned about how I'm going to be able to mix him into the podcast with him not doing things and thus not giving me opportunities. So it's going to be a trial, Jack. It's going to be something.
Listen, there's one thing that I know about you is that you're already very committed to it. But if you don't want me to,
it's
have
like
my
the
tiny,
only thing I have right now. It's like my life vest that I can grab onto that keeps me floating above water.
I'm just saying that if you don't want me to have like my spidey senses alerted,
yes,
you know, maybe mix it in earlier than the last thing on the podcast.
Yeah,
and then
that's
I'll
a decent point. That's a decent point. Yeah.
Caught less off guard. Yeah.
That's true. So, all right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you
I'm
did
on,
see it
I'm
coming.
On to you,
this time
you
did see it coming. All right.
I'm on to you.
Yeah, I know. All right. 2-3. Let's beat Gabe in his return. Be nice to Gabe if you're down there. I would cheer for him. I know that a lot of people won't, but I would.
Wow. You would cheer
I
for
would
him?
Give Gabe a golf clap, and then I would boo him the next time he came out.
See, what I would do is I would give like I would be obnoxious in my support, just
yelling
just
like I love you, Gabe. Yeah, Gabe, you're the best. We missed you, man.
Yeah, I might have to go down to a game. Just to be
if you do, I would like to see this. So, yes. All right.
Yes.
We'll be back soon at some point. And 2-3, beat Gabe. He's Fritz himself. We'll see you later.